This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Joy 94.9.
This is Gay News Week on Joy 94.9.
Have your say. 1300 Joy 949.
Gay News Week.
Gay News Week on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
Good evening and welcome to Gay News Week on Joy 94.9 with Jeffrey, Sammy and Matt.
Here at Gay News Week, we aim to cover topics that have been in the news over the past week and how they impact on you, us and our community.
And we have a licorice all sort going on tonight. We're going to cover a lot of issues in the show that we've got. We're going to cover National and International Volunteering Day, which is today. We're going to cover some issues about Sydney Mardi Gras, gender reassignment surgeries that are occurring in Iran, the American Psychiatric Association and their perception and definition of transgender and what that might mean, New Zealand passport changes and a whole heap of other stuff. And if you want to get in touch with us and let us know what you think, this is how you do so.
You're listening to the Gay Newsweek podcast with Sammy, Jeffrey and Matt. Get in touch. Email gaynewsweek at joy.org.au or check out joy.org.au/gaynewsweek for all of the links to our social media pages.
In 1985, the United Nations put December 5th as International Volunteer Day. We would like to pay recognition not only to all the many volunteers that keep Joy 94.9 on air, but the many volunteers throughout our community and the broader community. Yeah, we have some interesting figures.
Definitely, because volunteers are a very important part of our community. And it's actually really interesting because there's a lot of people that I know that don't volunteer. And it's actually quite interesting to speak to them and they'd have no interest in volunteering. But until I started volunteering, like here at Joy 94.9, I had no interest in it either. And I know a lot of other people that feel the same way. So it's actually quite an interesting concept, really, is because you can't actually understand how great volunteering feels until you do it.
I think that's one of the things, for before we go into our figures that we have great lists of, is you know, for you, Jeffrey, what does it mean to you to be a volunteer?
What it means to me, and this is the place that I come to do my volunteer work here at Joy 94.9, is that it's a way of getting a community organisation that can actually make a difference up and going, and understanding that there's a lot of different things that you can do to make that happen, from on-air presenting through volunteering through to some back of house stuff. So I think it just adds to the colour and warmth of our community.
Yeah, definitely. And I know you have some statistics on how people who volunteer, how they feel. But I know personally, you really feel like you're making a difference when you see the kind of outcomes that Joy 94.9 can produce with winning awards or just hearing from listeners and saying how much our content means to them. It really does make it worthwhile.
I think for me, you know, volunteering has been something that I've done throughout my whole working life, and growing up in a rural area, it's part of what you do. You know, I've been involved with running the Agricultural Society, the State Emergency Service, doing road accident rescue, and so many other things. And Joy has just been, for me, being able to be involved much more in my community, but still volunteering.
Do you think, so you've lived somewhere, you're someone who's lived in regional Victoria, but also kind of metropolitan, and you've moved into the city. In your opinion, people in rural Victoria, are they more or less likely to volunteer than, say, their counterparts here in metropolitan Melbourne?
From the people that I've had to deal with in my local community when I was living in a rural area, it's more accepting of, you know, the understanding of people, even the people in your community that don't volunteer, of why you volunteer. I find more in the inner city and suburban areas that people tend to be less understanding. You know, I've had a lot of friends say to me over the years, and even people I've been in relationships with in the past, why would you do it if you're not getting paid? And it's that lack of understanding in a more suburban and inner city area than what it is in a rural area.
Yeah, certainly that comment that you hear from people all the time about why would you do it if you're not getting paid is something that's come up with me, because I've certainly been involved with several volunteer organisations over my life as well, and just see it as a normal part of being and giving back to the community that you're a part of. So I can't imagine not doing it, but I certainly hear that comment quite often.
Yeah, it's also a sentiment that I can echo as well. Being young, a lot of young people don't understand working without getting paid. And why would you do it? Why would you get up at 4 o'clock on a Monday morning to come into a radio station and read the news? Which, sometimes a little bit creative with that time, of course I am. But I can see you giggling over there. But no, really, it's something that I think young people really need to start to experience, because volunteering is something that is really fulfilling.
It is fulfilling, and to the point that 5.4 million adults in Australia do voluntary work every year, which is 34% of the total population. Mm. And the strongest representative group in that are 35 to 44-year-olds. So certainly the age group that Sammy and I are part of speak for yourself, are the most representative group. And 98% of volunteers express that volunteering makes a difference to their organisation and its work, and the volunteer rate is higher outside of the capital cities.
Yes, and that's what we were saying is in more regional and rural areas, you've got quite a difference, nearly 6% difference of people in those communities actually volunteering. Now, the estimated value of volunteering in the economy, now this is the figures we've got, is from 2006, was $70 billion per annum.
Wow,
and
that is
up
massive.
In the 6-year period between 2006 and 2000, that was up from $42 billion. So it's nearly doubled.
This is money that's represented by a lot of people with passion, really, and that's what volunteering is about. I think I would find it really, really hard to volunteer and get up at those times and put the effort in that I do in my volunteer capacity if I wasn't passionate about the things that I was doing. I'm passionate about community radio. I'm passionate about the GLBTI community, and that's one thing that I think is really important when it comes to volunteering.
And we certainly know that 34% of the people that are in this survey have said that the reason they volunteer is that it also gives them skills that they get to use outside their voluntary capacity. So I certainly know a lot of people that have gained skills in managing people, in managing money, and doing other things within organisations that are voluntary, that have been able to transfer those skills that they've learned to positions outside their voluntary life. And I think that's a really important thing, is that you learn things that you might not be given the opportunity to do if you had to apply for them in a real job sense.
Yeah, you really do. And I know personally someone who wants to actually get into radio as a career. Obviously, when I was 16 years old and starting out and saying I want to get into radio, I don't think a commercial radio station was really going to hire me at that point. So the option was is go to community radio and do the hard yards, learn the skills, pick up the skills, and I've actually experienced a lot more within my capacity of volunteering. I've recognised the importance of the community, especially at Joy 94.9. We have a great sense of community and family here.
And I think that's the thing that you've touched on there, which is it is about a lot of people feel a little bit disconnected within our community. You know, they're coming sometimes from areas without families. And we talk about that a lot here at Joy, about Joy being family. But there is a lot of community, there's a lot of volunteer organisations within our community, the VAC, us, Bent TV. So you can get involved in so many different things and do something a little bit different, and also feel a bit connected within the community and not that you're feeling, you know, a little bit lost. And it's a great way to meet new people, because the reality is, you know, taking Joy as an example, you know, you guys are my family and people that I love dearly that I would never have had a chance to meet otherwise, because we're all from different walks of life. We have different interests outside the station, but it's brought us all together in that family environment, and that's one of the things that I find amazing.
Well said.
It's certainly a brilliant environment here at Joy, and we certainly value the volunteers that we've got. And one of the things that we'd like people to do if they're thinking about wanting to volunteer is go to our website, joy.org.au, and have a look at the volunteering tab, and that will take you to a list of positions available and roles that come up pretty frequently, particularly the office admin type roles. But lots of things do come up, even helping on boards and committees.
Yeah, certainly. And I know when I started out, I was like, oh, I was actually really quite nervous. What do I do? How do I get involved? Am I really going to like it? Are the people there going to be friendly enough? But I'm telling you, I've got to encourage you, make the first step, make a phone call to us and say you want to get involved, because I'm telling you, it will be a very positive step for you. You are listening to Gay News Week right here on the gayest station in the nation.
You're listening to Gay Newsweek on Joy 94.9.
We welcome your feedback at any time, like Betty has done. She's sent us a text message on 0427 Joy 949 and she says, volunteering provides a healthy motivation, purpose and satisfaction in one's life. Well done to everyone who volunteers. And we need to mention that Betty is actually a volunteer right here at Joy 94.9. She does some great work. She is our official photographer of Joy 94.9. So any of the pictures that you see up on our Facebook page from all of the events that Joy 94.9 is at, I can guarantee you it's almost definite that Betty has taken that photo.
Mm. Speaking of volunteer organisations, another large volunteer organisation within Australia is Mardi Gras. Now, we've had some... Mardi Gras has been doing quite a few things lately, haven't they, Jeffrey?
Well, Mardi Gras have been through an interesting time with their name. Now, you would have thought that the name of an organisation like Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras was a reasonably straightforward thing, but it doesn't seem to have been transparent for them, in as much as they had looked at removing the words gay and lesbian and briefly did remove those from their title and then held community consultations because of the backlash. So it's difficult to see how the leadership of Mardi Gras, which changes very frequently, could have come up with this decision. But it certainly doesn't bode well, I think, that an organisation that politically came out of the movement for equal rights for gay and lesbian Australians in and around Sydney has removed the words gay and lesbian from their title.
I remember hearing about this story last year when they did make the decision to remove the gay and lesbian bit, and it was there was quite an uproar, really. As you said, there was quite a bit of a backlash, and it's very interesting that they're now actually chosen to hold a bit of a community consultation.
I think the thing is with this too, at the time, was there was whether that it was making it too mainstream or increasing the mainstream appeal. Now, it was interesting considering this Mardi Gras this year. So we're talking the consultation happened last year, and then for this Mardi Gras, the name was removed. It was the first time in a very many years that Mardi Gras actually wasn't televised live. So the only coverage that Mardi Gras, live coverage that Mardi Gras had this year was Joy 94.9 actually being there.
That's right.
So it's actually quite interesting to the theories that the gay and lesbian was removed to increase the sponsorship, or, you know, there's been a lot of theories on why it actually happened and whether it was to increase it for the mainstream audience.
One of the reasons that I've heard postulated is that...
postulated? That's a new word for Jeffrey, isn't it?
I just thought it'd come up there. It's a new word every week. Yes,
new word every week. Is that removing the words actually mainstreams the event and therefore makes it more attractive to people who may not be attracted to something with the words gay and lesbian in it. And I don't know whether that's how you could perceive that doing that would be a plus for the event, because if you're against gay and lesbian events and the words offend you, well, then it's pretty damn sure that trotting along to the parade is probably going to offend your sensibilities just a little bit. So how you would make that connection, I'm not quite sure.
I have a feeling some of the idea behind the name change was it's because we have evolved. We're not just a gay and lesbian community. We are there's a wider community that's celebrated in Mardi Gras. So we're talking about the transgender, the bisexual, the intersex community. It's the rainbow family that really is celebrated at Mardi Gras. It's not just gay and lesbian, and I think it's time that we need to start recognising the forgotten bit.
Well, that's right, and that came out of the forum that was held in Shepparton with their Out in the Open thing, and I think that's really quite important that we spoke about with Sally, is it's LGBT. And you can't forget the last bit. And I do understand the reasoning behind it is the bits getting left out.
And if the reason for removing gay and lesbian was because it didn't include the bits, well, then the right way to go about doing that is, in fact, to have that conversation up front so that people are on board and so that it's covered off on not doing it and then leaving everybody out, which is what they, in fact, achieved, in my opinion.
One thing I actually found interesting is I've recently joined up as a member of Mardi Gras. And, as a concession, I think, I can't remember how much it was, you know, you join up. And I like to be a member of most of our major GLBTI organisations because it's a great way of keeping in touch of what's going.
And it also helps fund the organisations.
Absolutely, because it's an and that's the same thing happens here as Joy. You know, yeah. We stay on air through our members, you know, and other media organisations like Bent and Mardi Gras and Midsummer and all that all happens the same. Now, the one thing that I found very interesting is part of the application process that you actually fill in is I actually had to tick agenda.
Really? So just you had to choose whether it was
male or female. You couldn't actually not assign a gender. And I sort of found that a little bit surprising for a large GLBTI organisation.
Mm. So Sammy and I were doing this together and going through, because when Sammy said it to me, I said, are you sure? So we went through and did a mock log on and entry of data, and it's a mandatory field. So you have to tick one of those boxes or select one of those. And there is no option with having other, or you'd prefer not to say, or transsexual or bisexual or intersex or anything. So that just seems really bad marketing from an organisation who, if you were briefing someone to design your website for you, one of the things you would say, who is the community that this membership is for? Mm. And you would come up with that. So they've either pocketed this out to some developer that doesn't understand the community it serves.
Which was the feeling that we got when we were actually reading it, that it was maybe done by an outside organisation because it was very right. much templated.
Yeah.
Right.
And, yeah, that was the sense that we got, was that they've not individualised it or customised it as you would expect someone like Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras, however titled, to do.
Yeah, and obviously after we discovered this kind of revelation with Mardi Gras, we looked at our own processes here at Joy 94.9 and other similar organisations.
Yeah, a lot of the ones in Melbourne, and with those, they do actually don't include on the information required for membership any gender to be assigned, which I think that's all about being very sensitive to members of our community.
And it's the right thing to do, really.
Well, absolutely. You don't need to put 100 boxes there.
Mm.
I think, without them having to do that.
And there is clearly a difference between identifying your gender and identifying your sexuality as separate issues, and whether that's actually required by organisations. It's probably desirable for organisations to have that internal information so that they can understand their demographic, understand where their money's coming from, understand who they're pitching their message to. So I think all of those things are important. But asking the question can be quite confronting, and I think having options about preferring not to say isn't really acceptable either. And in fact, it's interesting, Matt, who's doing our technical button pushing here in the studio tonight, has just pulled it up on screen, and it has still the gender option of selecting male and female.
And it is actually one of the things that you actually has got a star on it, which means you must
It's
a mandatory field to actually complete your... Anyway.
Which I think is what's going on here, really. When you think about GLBTI, big organisations within Australia, you think of Mardi Gras. Mardi Gras is a massive celebration that we have every year in arguably the gay capital, Sydney. So what's going on here? Are they out of touch, or what's going on? Have they just failed to keep up with the times?
Like I said, I think the feeling was is when we actually went through it is it seems to be a very, obviously from an exterior organisation has actually done it for them, and it appears to be very templated basically a standard fill-in form, drop-down menu, Mr, Mrs, Doctor, that sort of stuff. So,
and even asking Mr and Mrs in this day and age, you have to wonder whether that's necessary. So you have to question on a couple of levels the leadership that is going on at Mardi Gras, what's going on with them, and how are they making these serial mistakes in several areas, and what that says about the future of the organisation.
You're listening to Gay Newsweek. SMS 0427 JOY 949. Email onair@joy.org.au. Call 1300 JOY 949. Find us on social media. Send a message via pigeon. Scream from the other side of the street. Throw stones at the window. This is Gay Newsweek.
And we have had someone throw a stone at the window, and they've asked, can you guys tell us how many country volunteers or firefighter members, then make a comparison against the city, because he or she believes the figures then reverse. Of course, we are speaking about International Volunteers Day. Sammy, can you tell us a little bit about this query?
Okay, when we're talking about firefighting members, the CFA, the Country Fire Authority, is a volunteer organisation, which which basically has always been in country areas. The MFB, Metropolitan Fire Brigade, is a paid organisation, so they've staff members. The reality is, though, when you're talking areas like Ringwood and Dandenong, which have up until 20 years ago were in rural areas, they're still controlled by the CFA.
Oh, really?
So in such a dense...
Even Ringwood?
Yep, densely suburban area is in, as far as I know, the Ringwood still is, but I definitely know Dandenong areas, but they were actually going to be changing to MFB. But what's happening now is with densely rural suburban areas that have been CFA in the past, they're putting paid staff in.
Right, very interesting. Thank you.
We also had another one. It said, it's clear a statistical gathering reference. We're talking about, this is what we're talking about, Mardi Gras.
Mardi Gras, not Mardi Gras.
Mardi Gras.
Mardi Gras.
Mardi Gras. Bi-trans don't attract much when you're marketing to a potential sponsor. It was a gay and lesbian protest to start. So it is very, very interesting because it does come across as quite true, really, if you're talking it from a marketing point of view.
It depends what you're actually asking people. If you're asking them to identify their gender, maybe that has some marketing value. But it's a little confronting to some members of our community that don't actually fit either category or don't want to identify as either category, or alternately might in fact want to not put that out there because it's not clear exactly how that data is going to be used.
I think this person might also be referring to the name change with gay and lesbian. And of course, it was initially a gay and lesbian protest when Mardi Gras started. But at the same time, I think they really need to get with it because the festival has actually evolved and it's not just about gay and lesbian people anymore. It's about the whole rainbow community and showing our vibrancy and diversity. So I think things need to change. Yes, at the start, it was gay and lesbian. It was the gay and lesbian Mardi Gras. I think now it's time to get with it and start reflecting that evolution in its name.
Absolutely. Now, speaking of evolutions that are happening, we're actually going to be doing a great big roundup around the world. We've got quite a few topics to discover. Now, something really quite interesting is Iran has performed over 1,000 gender reassignment operations in the last 4 years.
I found this one really interesting, actually, because that's a fairly high figure for a country that you don't often really put the two things together,
yes.
really. Obviously, the first one that comes to Thailand and first one that comes to mind, and I gave it away then, just is Thailand, is that's where most of them happen. But yeah, Iran is definitely not one.
As a country that has homosexuality as something that is still illegally and as a crime punishable by death, it's interesting that because they regard transsexuality as an illness, that they then fund and support people going through a cure, which is gender reassignment surgery. So it's a really peculiar course of events in a country like this that's hardly coming up positively on the banner of gay rights.
It's a little bit bittersweet in some respects because, yes, sure, it's helping people make the switch, but really it's kind of for the wrong reasons.
If it is for that reason, because there are reports in the same article saying that some people have been forced into the operations by their families or by the state, and so not all of these surgeries are necessarily voluntary, and so that's pretty sad.
According to official statistics, Iran has between 1,500 and 2,000 transsexuals. This is their words. Although unofficially, the estimates could be up to 150,000 members of the community. So it's quite interesting because, as you said, it is not a country that it comes to mind, but, you know, it is the... It carries out more gender reassignment surgeries than any other country in the world.
Except...
Of course, besides Thailand. So, you know, it's something that I suppose is a little bit distressing to think that that's actually going on. And people who actually are identifying as gay or lesbian, their families are actually forcing them into having these gender reassignment surgeries as a cure for their sexuality.
And to keep them alive, in fact. I mean, families that are pushing their presumably gay or lesbian child or family member into this are doing it in way to keep their family member alive, because living the other life as gay or lesbian actually puts you at risk of being punished by death.
Definitely. And to break down a couple of the figures, state medical records do indicate from 2006 to 2010, 1,366 Iranians acquired permits to undergo sex change operations. 56% were seeking male to female and 44% were female to male.
Yeah, scary stuff. Not from a country that we would have thought.
Definitely not.
Moving further along in the trans field, because we decided to put a few articles together, a Californian trans woman has filed a lawsuit in the US federal court alleging that the Bureau of Land Management, which is a federal agency, had one of their rangers taser her in the crotch because she used to be a man.
It's really quite distressing that she was, according to the online news sites.
Star Observer, I think this one
had. Yes, this was in the Star Observer, yeah. That she was actually pulled over by a ranger who asked her for ID. And then he went on to go, oh, you used to be a boy.
Mm. From what I understand, what happened was the woman was pulled over and asked for identification, but this woman has claimed that the officer's demeanour changed when he saw the gender marker on the licence. So obviously that there's a mark on the licence that shows that this woman used to be a boy. Then he asked the question, you used to be a boy, and after confirming the ranger's question and this officer actually arrested the woman for being drunk in public, although he hadn't actually conducted a test or a breath test in any way to determine that. And then by that time, other law enforcement officials started to arrive on the scene, and obviously there was an escalation in the situation.
Depending on where they were in the United States, conducting a sobriety test is something that the police in most areas of the US have to have reasonable cause, otherwise it's considered an illegal search. So the circumstance under which they can conduct that in the US is entirely different to a roadside breath test that they can do here. So unless they've got reasonable cause, they can't subject you to that. And then after arresting her for that, not conducting the test, then seemed to have summoned many more people to the scene, police officers, and the situation escalated significantly. And she was put on the ground in the dirt, arrested. And when all of this happened, she was tasered. So according to the article, she was already on the ground at that point of tasering.
Right. And the district attorney has declined to comment, she is definitely pursuing criminal criminal charges won't be pursued against the woman, but she is suing the US federal court and the ranger himself.
There's something else happening in the US at the moment with the American Psychiatric Association, Matt.
Something very positive, actually, which is something that's nice to hear. They're basically they're changing a few definitions, and they've agreed to no longer classify people who are transgender or non-gender conforming as having a mental illness. So they're taking that kind of language out of the system.
And there's a lot of language that goes into classifying people, so you wouldn't be surprised that the American Psychiatric Association, in their Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, which was initially published in 1973, is changing their definition. So until now, gender identity disorder was used to label people who were trans, and this has been the basis of a campaign to have that changed for a long period of time. And the condition that will remain in is gender dysphoria, which refers to a term caused by the distress when there is an incongruence between experienced or expressed gender and the assigned gender. So I think that's a really significant step in the right direction, because we know that people that are experiencing gender problems, and I don't use the word problem as a gender incongruence, so they are experiencing something which is different to what they believe they are, is being appropriately reflected in the literature, which is, in fact, the world-leading literature.
While we're in the US, Matt, there's been a radio host that's had some very interesting things to say.
Oh, yes. This is one of my favourite stories of the evening, is because this US radio host says same-sex marriage encourages children to have gay sex, which I think is rather interesting point of view.
We had to include this because we had to scour the world, not very hard, to come up with some right-wing American who says something that's particularly objectionable to us. And in that regard, thank you, Linda Harvey.
Yes, Linda Harvey hosts a radio show in Ohio. It's a Christian radio station, which
really? I'm so surprised.
But we have to be careful here, because not all Christians have these views.
Absolutely.
It's just fairly prevalent in the media that some are really crazy and have these views. So she's a woman who campaigns against equality, which is a great start, really. And her radio show, Mission America, is what it's called. I think
was that Missionary America?
No, sorry. Mission America was the name of the was the name of her radio show. And she says the homosexual lobby, I love it when they're described as that, the homosexual lobby, is very skillful, which I think is quite a compliment in itself.
I like the fact that we're regarded as being skillful. What else are we regarded as, Matt?
I think we're going to leave that out of context and just say we're very skillful. Thank you, Linda Harvey.
I like her other claims. It also says homosexual marriage is wrong because two men together or two women together is intrinsically disordered.
The behaviour is unnatural. Wow.
Oh, I don't think so.
Don't you love it? I love these stories because it just there's so much comedy in them. I think this should be on comedy websites. Anyway, back to the homosexual lobby being skillful. Apparently, we're very skillful at manipulating public sympathy by tugging on heartstrings while not telling the whole story.
Now, there's a whole line of conversation we had in the meeting before about what to exactly do with
which
that
which we
sentence.
Won't include on
no,
the show.
No.
She says, our side being obviously, I assume, the heterosexual lobby, sometimes plays right into our hands, our being the homosexual lobby, right into our hands by also not telling the whole story, which even when we get a chance, we like to give them a chance.
I know.
They don't always.
Speaking of people who I don't think really need another chance, Jeffrey, Air New Zealand's latest promotion has bombed.
Yes.
The airline has been accused of transphobia after a joke that they put on their website. It's really quite distressing, the things that they think is funny.
It certainly is. I'm just having a shuffle of paper here because Sammy's immediately changed the order of things.
In case you couldn't hear.
But the company launched a Christmas cracker promotion on its Grab a Seat website.
What was
on
that word?
Monday.
Grab a Seat.
Grab a Seat.
Yeah.
Giving people the chance to win prizes. And the joke that they put in one of them is, what large heavy ball was responsible for Valerie Adams' gold medal? Now, Valerie Adams is a shot putter.
From Belarus.
And the answer to that joke was the Belarusian's left testicle.
It's very poor taste.
And what was the upshot of all of that?
Was there an upshot?
The reason that, of course, they were taking the piss, basically, of it is the Belarusian was actually disqualified from... She was originally given the gold medal for winning. She was disqualified for a positive test of a banned steroid. So she was on performance-enhancing drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And it was as good as that. The medal was later awarded to the Kiwi shot putter. So it's really quite disgusting that they think that that's actually quite funny and actually being quite transphobic in the process.
And Air New Zealand did not respond in the best way to this event.
Of course.
So rather than apologise, Air New Zealand responded by tweeting, because the Twitter account is the first thing you go to when you want to make an apology to everyone.
Yeah, of course.
Not everyone likes our Christmas cracker jokes, so tell us your tacky Kiwi jokes and we'll add our favourites into this cracker. You're listening to Gay News Week on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Gay News Week on Joy 94.9.
Going back across the Tasman, the New Zealand transgender community are rejoicing at being able to change their gender on their passports by a simple declaration. This is a new change in New Zealand and allows the trans community to be able to put male, female or X, which is indeterminate or unspecified, on their passports without changing their birth certificates or citizenship records.
I think this is a really good move for New Zealand. How does it relate back to Australia? Have we got this option? Are we lagging?
We certainly
behind?
Do. I did a quick look at the website, and in September last... Oh, actually, 2011. Yeah, so last year, these laws were also endorsed in Australia, and so Australians now have the same option as of last year. So this is a step in a good direction, although whether the trans community actually want to be identified as an X, which is indeterminate or unspecified, or whether they want to identify proudly and strongly as trans or intersex, it doesn't allow them that option.
Good on you, New Zealand, and we always welcome your feedback. Simon sent us a message on 0427JOY949 and says, why is Joy the only radio station with no signal in the Burnley Tunnel? I'm sorry, I can't help you there. Apparently he missed the whole conversation in the right-wing radio announcer, but I have some good news for you, Simon, because Gay News Week podcast every week, and you can jump onto the iTunes store. It'll be up by the end of tonight, I promise you that. Our podcast will be up and you can hear the whole show in its full glory.
Absolutely. Now, It Gets Better campaign is rolling on. Now, it started and we've got some great stuff that's happening in America. In early November, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police did their own video.
I love these videos because they're just so heartwarming. Like, Do you guys agree? Come on.
Oh, it's just amazing. So this was done in early November. It featured 20 officers from the Mounties.
Wow, fairly decent. That's how long does the video go for, do you know? Lose my voice.
The video stars 20 out and proud officers sharing their personal stories of growing up gay and how they overcome their struggles to become 9/11 dispatchers, homicide investigators and anti-gay task force members.
That's really good. And it comes into the New York Police Department, who have also come out with their own It Gets Better campaign. And we watched the 10-minute It Gets Better presentation from them earlier in the day. And, yeah, certainly these people are telling some very heartfelt stories of what it means to be gay, to come out and to be members of the New York Police Department.
It certainly is a great story. And see, this isn't the only story that I've seen over recent days and recent weeks of good things coming out of the New York Police Department. And I don't know whether it's just an image or a branding thing, but I also, you may have seen the video online of a New York Police Department officer buying a pair of boots for a homeless man, and that video went actually viral, and I'm sure you can find it with your favourite search engine beginning with G. So it's a good story, and I think it's very good for the New York Police Department to be showing a little bit of compassion towards the community.
Absolutely. Now, speaking of some other good news story, and you know, there's quite a few members of our community that are interested in comic books. Now, we have a show here on Joy 94.9 which covers that, which is, you know, included in Sci-Fi and Scream.
Am I the host of that?
No.
Why?
Well, I'm just wondering if you think I know anything about this topic.
No, but we do have somebody joining us in the studio.
We do.
Joy 94.9's Andy, who is the comic book king here at Joy, or queen.
Yeah. Now, Andy, before you start...
It all depends on the day, really.
Yes. Andy, before you start, have you been officially titled the comic book expert of Joy 94.9?
Yeah, 2 seconds ago.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I was about to say, if not, consider it done. Gay News Week's done it for you. Welcome to Gay News Week, Andy.
Thank you very much. I'm very glad to be here.
Now, on International Volunteers Day, Andy, what do you do here at Joy 94.9? One of the things.
Oh, I help out the wonderful guys who do the Royal Daltons.
The competition?
Out.
Yep.
Oh, get out.
And I sit on the front desk and do everything that they, ask me to do.
Boss
and,
you around in doing.
Make the show sound as good as it does.
And what does volunteering mean to you?
Oh, volunteering means to me being able to give back to the community that's given so much to me and just hang around with great people and, reach a common goal, those kind of things.
Good one. Who's the greatest team on air at Joy 94.9?
Oh, we know who he has to say.
Do you want me to give you the answer that you want to hear?
Yes, that's right, I do.
The Gay Newsweek, of course.
Yeah, we get that in a promo for the show.
We're going to get that in a promo, and we're going to play that for the Royal Daltons next week.
Yeah, good.
Now, the reason we have Andy in the studio is George, am I saying this, George Takei?
George Takei.
It's Takei, isn't it?
It's Takei.
Okay.
Oh, okay, sorry.
He's best known for his portrayal as Mr. Sulu on Star Trek. He's a member of our community, and he's crossed a new frontier this week, appearing as himself in an issue of Archie Comics.
Absolutely huge.
Now, Andy, of course, we do have a few gay comic book characters, haven't we?
Oh, yes, there's more than a few, Sammy. Yep.
So what are some of the ones that we would probably know about as growing up and not knowing much about comics, as some of the comic book characters? I believe that there's someone in the Batcave.
Yes. Oh, she's well and truly out of the Batcave, actually. It's Batwoman. She's, was Batman's ex-girlfriend, but she's, now no longer his girlfriend because she's, out and proud lesbian.
Hang on.
Wow.
Hang on. Yeah. How do you know these things?
Because it's what I do, dude.
Oh, yeah. It's what you do. You read comics.
So pretty much.
How does a superhero come out?
about the same way as, volunteers and joysters come out.
Right, okay.
Yeah. But they do it in the pages of comic books rather than, in the real world, which is,
Is Batwoman in a relationship at the moment?
She certainly is. She's in a relationship with a Gotham City Police Department detective.
Oh.
Maggie Sawyer.
I really do. These are things that you just don't hear about. When you hear about comics and stuff, you just don't hear about these things.
No, well, see, this year we also had a couple of weddings in comic book history, didn't we?
Absolutely, yes.
Same-sex marriages.
Yes, absolutely.
Same-sex marriages.
I've heard they're immoral. Sorry. Anyway, go on.
So Kevin Keller was married in January, I believe.
Kevin Keller got married to his boyfriend over in Archieland, and he's actually a out and proud serving member of the US military, so that's all very cool. And Batwoman actually had to leave the US Army because she came out and everything like that. So it covers, It's fairly
and then we had another marriage in May, didn't we?
Then there was North Star, the French-Canadian X-Man, who married his longtime boyfriend, and that was an interracial marriage. So that was, you know, another fantastic, comic book one. And then Midnighter and Apollo got married way back about 10 years ago, back when it was, very new, and they've got an adopted daughter and things wow. like that. Yeah.
It's very progressive in the comic world, isn't it?
Yes, it certainly
now,
is.
Now, DC Comics there was a lot of speculation earlier in the year because DC Comics were floating around that one of their major characters mm-hmm. was actually going to come out, and people were sort of trying to work out who it was. And who did it end up being?
It ended up being Green Lantern, but not the Green Lantern that everyone knows from the movie Hal Jordan. It was actually Alan Scott, who's the Green Lantern over in Earth 2. Which is a parallel Earth to the DC Earth. So
the reality is there's a lot of people within our community that love their comic books, mm-hmm. and it's great for the mainstream because there's a lot of people that love them. Jeffrey?
Certainly. My question is there a level of homophobia at times in comic books as well? So is there the reverse Jeffrey. Out there?
There absolutely is.
Tell us about that.
Sure. As you led the story with the Kevin Keller issue... it was really, really tragic. Right after the wedding that he had to his boyfriend was actually gay-bashed in the following month's issue of Terrible. Kevin Keller. I know. Mm. So they, built him right up and then they sort of tore it down. But it was also really well handled. All of Kevin's and Archie's friends, gathered around and, his boyfriend, or his husband, I should say, did survive. And, the bully was... locked up in jail and everything like that. So, they're covering,
I tell you what, things happen, big things happen in the comic world and things that I had no idea about.
You do now.
Isn't this crazy? How did this world exist without me knowing about it?
And I think the one thing that we know now, it is a reality. I mean, a lot of us have seen Queer as Folk and we saw on there Rage and the big thing about Justin doing his comic book character. That's right. And a lot of people were like, oh my God, there's, gay comic book characters. But the reality is, as Andy has told us tonight, it's existed for quite a number of years.
It certainly has, yeah. And I mean, when you look at all those guys in spandex and their cod pieces and jocks on the outside, I mean,
there was probably a few questions that needed to be asked. Andy, our resident expert in comics here at Joy 94.9, I thank you so much for joining us on the show this evening.
My absolute pleasure, guys. Thank you for having me.
You're listening to Gay News Week on Joy 94.9.
This has been Gay News Week, but unfortunately that is all we have time for tonight. It's a big thank you to those people who joined in our conversation tonight by SMS, email, and anyone that phoned in. Not that anyone's told us about that.
But live in the studio, we had Andy. So thank you very much for talking about comic books.
And absolutely. And we need to thank Pam Cordo for helping us with some of our preparation tonight.
If at any time throughout the show you want to get in contact with us, I suggest you definitely do that. Email us, gaynewsweek@joy.org.au, or head to joy.org.au/gaynewsweek to find all those links to our social media profiles. And of course, you can always tweet us throughout the week at Gay News Week Joy. And most definitely, thank you very much to Matt Nock for pressing those buttons. He does them so well. Look out for the podcast as well, Simon.
But until next week, we are Jeffrey, Sammy, and Matt, and this has been Gay News Week.
Here's news. They say no news is good news, right? But no news means no Gay News Week. And that would be bad news. Bad, bad news. So for news you can't refuse, choose Gay News on Joy 94.9. Now there's something for you to muse.
That rhymes.
You've been listening to Gay News Week. Check out joy.org.au/gaynewsweek for all of the links on how you can keep up to date with the team on social media. And be sure to tune in next Wednesday from 7 p.m. right here on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.